I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the radical left. The radical left. This in light of recent events that have been all over the news. Now, there are two events where Donald Trump has attempted to speak here recently, one in Chicago, another in Ohio. Donald Trump ended up canceling the speech he was going to make at a rally in Chicago because it was said there were all these radical groups there that were protesting, disrupting things. One report claimed that 50% of the tickets that were purchased for that rally were purchased by those who were Bernie Sanders supporters or people who wanted to protest against Trump and just try to disrupt the whole proceeding. But Donald Trump ended up canceling his rally in Chicago. Then he goes to speak in Ohio, and a protester rushes the stage, tries to grab Donald Trump. Trump turns around very quickly. You can watch the video. And then the Secret Service men grab the guy and got him out of there. And it was, I mean, the whole thing was just a huge uproar of, you know, people shouting and screaming and this kind of thing going on. Very, very dramatic. I mean, the things that are going on politically right now in our country are just, it's like water boiling in a pot or something. There's a movement at work in the country, but with it, there's a lot of resistance and turmoil. And so I thought what we need to talk about is the history of the radical left, because it's very, very important. It has everything to do with these kind of frenzied mobs that we see, like Black Lives Matter and these other groups that go out, and they're very, very radical. Sometimes they can get violent. Sometimes they can be destructive. They're very, very bold. They're very audacious. They often involve young people, not always. But typically, the leftists are radicalized in the colleges and the universities. Now, this goes back hundreds of years, brethren. Goes back hundreds of years, if you study it. And this is what the Jesuits sought to do with the Counter-Reformation, to capture the colleges and the universities, and to go in and, at the level of the schools, affect the education of the young people and get them to think a certain way. Where did the French Revolution begin? Anybody who studies the French Revolution will know it began at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, which was a Jesuit-controlled university. In fact, if you watch, what was it, Kenneth Branagh's Frankenstein movie, where he's showing Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein goes to the University of Ingolstadt. That's where he encounters a lot of the philosophies and so on about creating life and making his own man. It was at the University of Ingolstadt. Why? Because all of that was an allegory. It was a picture of the French Revolution. And that was where it all began, in a university setting. So we're finding across our country now at the colleges and the universities these young people that routinely attack anybody who holds to any kind of conservative or traditional or patriotic view. I've heard stories for years about Ann Coulter being chased off the stage or shouted down or having people throw things and this kind of thing if she goes to speak at a college or a university. Ben Shapiro, who's a conservative speaker, recently had to cancel a speech at a university. Why? Because there were all of these frenzied radicals there that weren't willing to listen and wanted to shut down his right of free speech. And of course, these are groups who are usually shouting and screaming for tolerance. They want tolerance, 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 but they are not tolerant of anybody who disagrees with them. And this is the old Jesuit ploy, whether they're aware of it or not. In other words, whether they know the origins of the ploy or not. But nevertheless, this is the Jesuit ploy. It's been written about for hundreds of years. You use tolerance to get your foot in the door so that you can gain access to power. And then once you have the power, you don't have tolerance for anyone. That's the strategy. But it is one that's been employed for centuries. And when we're watching it in our country, you go read the pages of history, brethren, you will see this is a radical leftist socialist movement, and it is on the brink of being a Marxist revolution in our country. And I honestly think there are two main things that keep the movement at bay. One is the presence of Christianity, the stabilizing presence of Christianity. And two, I honestly believe the Second Amendment. As long as we have the Second Amendment in place, and as long as there are more than 100 million U.S. citizens across the country who are armed, then the radicals know that they cannot push the envelope too far. They can't push it too far. Because what they would ordinarily do in other countries, going around and destroying everything and having this kind of radical uprising, they can't get away with in America. And I believe that's part of the reason why they want to find a way around or a way to overthrow or overturn the Second Amendment, because they want to seize power in this country. And it's very difficult for them to do it because of the restraints of the Constitution, the fact that there are so many God-fearing Christian people here, and the fact that the population, the citizenry, is armed and able to defend themselves. And it makes it very, very difficult for them to fully effect their agenda. Makes it very difficult. But I want to read a couple of quotes here. This is, well, John Adams. This is from a letter from John Adams in the year 1813. And John Adams writing to Thomas Jefferson about the radicals in Philadelphia who threatened George Washington when they wanted George Washington to support the French Revolution. And so Adams is writing, and he says, quote, he's writing to Jefferson now, he says, quote, "You certainly never felt the terrorism excited by Genet," meaning Citizen Genet, this French radical that came to America. He says, "You certainly never felt the terrorism excited by Genet in 1793, when 10,000 people in the streets of Philadelphia, day after day, threatened to drag Washington out of his house and effect a revolution in the government, or compel it to declare war in favor of the French Revolution and against England. The coolest and firmest minds, even among the Quakers in Philadelphia, have given their opinions to me that nothing but the yellow fever, which removed Dr. Hutchinson and Jonathan Dickinson Sargent from this world, could have saved the United States from a total revolution of government." Okay? So Adams is talking about this, and this was a radical leftist movement. These were the guys who basically brought about the Reign of Terror in France and led to the mass murder of hundreds of thousands of people. And they had their agents here in America who were trying to effect the same aims in this country, to have a new revolution. And of course, I believe what they wanted to do was, well, they wanted to do in America what they had done in France. In France, it was a very godless or ungodly, anti-God, anti-Christ revolution in France, where in France, they wanted to get rid of the Bible. Any representation of Christianity or faith in God or any of that, they wanted it pushed entirely out of the system. They set up the goddess of reason. They actually dressed up a prostitute, put her on a throne, and declared her to be the goddess of reason, and that human reason now was going to replace God, that we don't need God, we have our own human reason. So we're going to come up with our own ideas, and that's what's going to govern our society. It'll be from our imagination, whatever we want to do. Yeah, I mean, it was, for those of you who know Aleister Crowley and his satanic teachings about do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, that's essentially what they wanted, was man according to his own will, not living in submission to God, the abolishment of God from government. And that is most likely what they wanted to effect here in America at that time as well. Now, it is very likely that what the radicals trying to force Washington to support the French Revolution probably had to do with the fact that France had come and helped America with the American Revolution against England, but the monarch, the French monarch, was King Louis XVI. He had been the one who had helped the American colonies. Now, the radicals are overthrowing Louis XVI, and they're saying to America, you need to support the French Revolution. That would have put Washington and the new United States government in a very difficult position, because King Louis was their ally. He had helped them. How could they now turn on him and help with the overthrow of his government there in France? So that was the complexity of it. But Citizen Genet had everybody all stirred up, apparently, and Adams says they were on the brink of a complete and total revolution, a new revolution, because this is all happening after the first American Revolution, after the Constitution has been ratified, etc. And so the radicals wanted to seize control of the American colonies. But there are those who believe, and I'm one of them, that these radical groups that had come from France never ceased to operate on American soil. And they are the groups that, or at least their doctrines. There's a letter written by George Washington to the Reverend G.W. Schneider in 1798, where Schneider had sent Washington information about the Bavarian Illuminati and warning about their presence in America. Washington writes back, he says he has no doubt that the doctrines of this group, the Illuminati, were at work in America. Most likely because of his experience and what had happened when they tried to drag him out of his house. Because leftist radicalism, that is effectively what the Bavarian Illuminati, or the Society of the Perfectibilists, they call themselves. You see, this is what Bernie Sanders is selling, brethren. This is what Bernie Sanders is selling. This is what the Democrats are selling. We're going to perfect society. We're going to make society perfect. We're going to get God out of government, out of the schools and whatnot. And we will create this a perfect environment by taking control of everybody's wealth and really the entire system, everything. And we'll just portion everything out equally, supposedly, so that everybody has what they need. That's the idea. And unfortunately, to accomplish this idea, they're pursuing it based upon principles that are contrary to the teachings of God, contrary to the commandments of God, the principles that God sets forth in the scripture. And this is why one of the foundation principles, private property ownership. When you understand private property ownership, that is probably the key foundation for understanding freedom, because it begins with one individual having control of his own circumstances, his own environment, his own home, his own piece of land that he can call home. And it's the idea, that a man's home is his castle. And he has the right to defend it. That's where it all begins. And biblical principles operate in this manner and in that direction. It What communism does is the exact opposite. It says, no, a man's home is not his castle. A man's home really belongs to the state. And the state has the right to use it however he wants, or however it wants. Okay? That's like the Dr. Zhivago model. We'll move people into your house if we think we need to do that. Your money is not necessarily your own. It belongs to the state. You don't necessarily have the right to defend yourself and your home, etc., because we don't think self-defense is necessarily a good idea. This is what they're doing all over Europe right now. They do not believe self-defense is an adequate reason for example, owning a firearm. So in many ways, they deny the right of self-defense, or they develop policies and laws, etc., that move against that idea, because they want to discourage people from thinking that they have the right to defend themselves. You see, it breaks down everything. It breaks down your own private, the private property of yourself, the private property of your home, the private property of your finances, you know, your money, everything. All of it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the state. Belongs to the state, and they have all the control. This is totalitarianism. They want total control of you, your life, everything. Effectively to make you into a slave. That's what it does. That's what it does. It turns you into a slave. And so these radical groups, now, many of them, as Joseph Stalin called them, Stalin called people like these crowds, these mobs that are out there shouting and screaming. Most of those people are what Joseph Stalin would call useful idiots. And that's the term that he used, that the average person ultimately doesn't know what all of this is about. They're hearing words like equality and fairness and justice and this kind of thing, and they don't realize that the Marxists have developed all of this, and they have a completely different set of definitions for what all of this means. It doesn't mean equality, doesn't really mean equality in a Christian context. Equality becomes a weapon of totalitarianism, because now the government can say, we have to make everything equal, so in order for us to make everything equal, we have to take control of everything, and then we'll make it equal. So everybody gives up everything they've got, and you give it to us, and then we will make it equal. That's the idea. So they become the masters. They are the elitist masters, and everybody beneath them effectively becomes a slave. They won't admit to that necessarily, but that's effectively what happens. All right, let's go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the radical left. We'll talk about the French Revolution. We'll talk about what's going on in our country. Will leftist radicals get away with intimidating America? We'll talk more about that when we come back right after this.
Dullam Films presents Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones, a dynamic new documentary exposing the environmental agenda. In 1980, this granite monument was erected by an anonymous stranger who called himself R.C. Christian. He claimed to represent a small group that wished to usher in the Age of Reason. Sometimes called the American Stonehenge, this strange monument is said to contain the Ten Commandments of the New Age, or the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. It calls for global government, environmental control, and worst of all, it says to maintain the world population under 500 million people. But who was R.C. Christian, and does his monument have something to do with the climate change agenda of the United Nations today? Find out by ordering Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones. Available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
If you want to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, get answers to important Bible questions, or be involved in intensive Bible study and research, then check out situationroom.net/join. You can now join for just $7.99 a month and have instant access to the radio and television programs of Brannon Howes, Mike Gendron, Mike Abendroth, Mike Riddle, Justin Peters, John Whitcomb, Jimmy DeYoung, Jesse Johnson, Susan Heck, Chris Pinto, John Leffler, T.A. McMahon, Michael John Beasley, David Farnell, and Tommy Ice. Many of these programs are exclusive to The Situation Room and are produced and or distributed by Worldview Weekend from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. So why not go to situationroom.net/join right now and look at what is waiting for you as a member. This is broadcast quality, biblically sound, on-demand content for the entire family. Situationroom.net/join. Join now, and we'll send you 20 Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for becoming a member or for renewing your membership. That's $300 in free DVDs shipped to you free of charge when you join at situationroom.net/join.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today we're talking about the radical left that has we've seen a lot of activity from leftists, especially during the administration of Barack Obama, stirring up all of these different crowds and this kind of thing through the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, in this current election cycle, we're seeing especially Donald Trump is facing a lot of backlash from these leftist groups. There's even stories out there now about George Soros financing some of these leftist groups and sending them in to break up things with Trump. There was a massive meeting. All these airliners, all these private planes show up with these millionaires and billionaires that are out to apparently, reportedly stop Trump, to prevent him from getting the Republican nomination and then becoming president of the United States. Now, it's interesting, there are a lot of polls that are predicting that Trump would prevail handily against Hillary Clinton in November. Other polls say, no, that wouldn't be the case. I guess there's only one way we're ever going to find out, and that is if Trump gets the nomination, we'll see what happens. But these groups are obviously threatened by what he is doing and what he's saying and what he wants to do for America. And he's really hitting hot button issues. And this, let's just put aside for a minute what we think of Trump as a professing Christian and measuring his behavior. And I mean, I understand the arguments there, but so we can understand why Trump is affecting the globalists in this situation, why they're so bent out of shape over him. He is affecting a number of their chief programs. One, immigration, at two levels. One, the illegal immigration, having the illegals continue to flow into the country from Mexico. because they're going to have them all vote Democrat eventually. And that's going to continue to pull the country to the left, which is towards socialism and ultimately communism, which is what they want. Trump is saying, no, we got to stop this. We're going to build a wall. We're going to deport as many of these 11 million illegals that are here now. And that's it. We're going to get tough and we're going to take a stand and we're going to take back the country in this way. That disrupts this Vatican Jesuit left-wing Democrat socialist agenda for America in a big way, because they want to tilt the election process so that within the next 20 or 30 years, the idea of having a traditional conservative Christian patriotic worldview in this country, that idea will be gone, that the country will have been moved so far to the left that the entire national mentality of America will be leftist. That's what they want. And this they've been working on now since, well, I would say about the 1920s. That's about as far back as I've traced it. But that's what they want. And so immigration plays an important role. Trump also wants to stop the immigration, the importation of Muslims from the Middle East. And of course, building up the Islamic population and then trying to advance Sharia law in America, all of that is part of the totalitarian agenda, because they use it as a weapon to overturn and break down the Christian value system of our country. To break it down one step at a time, one step at a time, give favoritism to Islam, and then suppress Christianity. They've been doing it with atheism. That's one of their weapons. They've done it with homosexuality and transgenderism. That's another one. The other weapon now will be Islam. Islam does not begin to have the foothold in America that it does in places like England and France and elsewhere in Western Europe, but it is gaining ground in the United States. But thankfully, as more and more people are aware of what's going on, you've got Americans who are protesting, they're standing up, they're fighting back, thank the Lord, because that would take our country down, I believe, a very, very dark path. But Trump wants to put a stop to it. He wants to stop it. And he wants to confront all of these issues with trade. With trade and how, what kind of deals we have with China and Mexico and all these other countries, because he keeps saying over and over again, we're losing billions and billions of dollars because of bad trade agreements that our leaders have made with these other countries. And now Trump keeps saying, well, the other leaders are smarter than our leaders. He keeps saying that. But what's going on, brethren? At least, I will tell you openly, I am not a financial expert. I'm not a financial expert. But I have listened to people for years, for more than a decade, who have studied the situation with our national debt, the situation with our economy, and they have all said the same thing. The people who seem to be in the know on all of this, they all agree that they don't want our national debt to be paid off. They don't want it paid off. They want it to get worse. The socialists in our system, they want it to get worse. They want to eventually wreck the American economy by making bad deals deliberately so that it will wreck the economy and force the system to change. So we'll be forced to accept some kind of socialist, communist type economic solution. Some people argue that this is what happened with the stock market crash in 1929. The stock market crash was manufactured. America was very successful. You had the roaring 20s, people running around, lots of money, this kind of thing. Then it is believed, it's argued, that the stock market crash of 1929 was manufactured, creating the Great Depression deliberately. So that what? So that then the government could come in with all of these socialist programs and people had to be dependent upon government aid, dependent upon welfare, etc., etc. They had to rely upon the government. They had no choice. In fact, there's that film. Some people may remember. Watch the film Candyman with Russell Crowe and Renee Zellweger. watch that film. It starts out, Russell Crowe and his wife, there they are. They're very successful people. They make lots of money. He's a boxer, right? And they're doing very well, and they're happy, and they're smiling, etc. And then it goes into the period of the Great Depression, and now they're poor, they're struggling, they're trying to get by, etc. And he has to go to a government office, stand in line to get financial aid so he can pay his bills. There are those who believe that these things are done deliberately to crash the system so the American people will basically be forced into a situation of dependency on a socialist slash communist government. You won't have any choice. That's the idea. So if this is the case, assuming that these commentaries and books, and we'll call them conspiracy theories, if these things are accurate, and if Trump is sincere and genuine, and he wants to go in there and change that and say, we're not going to make any more bad deals, we're actually going to make good deals, we're going to pay down this debt, we're going to turn things around, America's going to become successful, we're not going to let all the jobs go out of the country, etc. If he really does that, this is another huge blow to their agenda. It would be another huge, you know, punch in the jaw to the globalists. Because it would potentially, especially if Trump was in there for 8 years, it would reverse what they are hoping to accomplish. It would set them back many years. Now, I believe it is very likely that Ronald Reagan set back the Marxists in our system years. I generally think that's the case because of the fall of the Soviet Union and what he did, what Reagan did when he got rid of the communist coexistence philosophy and said, let's get rid of that. We're going to win. They're going to lose. And then he began a very aggressive campaign against the Soviet Union. And then the Soviet Union fell. Because before that, here's the reason I say that, brethren. You go and you watch the testimony of Norman Dodd online. Norman Dodd, D-O-D-D. Go watch Norman Dodd's testimony where he talks about meeting with one of the leaders of these tax-exempt foundations that are really pushing communism in our system. I think it was the head of the Ford Foundation. I think that was the case, but go watch the interview with Norman Dodd. Anyway, he says when he met with the head of this foundation that their purpose, what they wanted to do, was to comfortably merge the United States with the Soviet Union. That was what they wanted to do. Comfortably merge the United States with the Soviet Union. Blend them together. And to do that, of course, you've got to bring America into a... That's why they're going after the education system, which is what they discovered. Dodd talks about this, to bring Americans from a Christian capitalist worldview to a anti-Christian Marxist worldview. So they would then be compatible with the Soviet Union. Well, then what happens? Well, decades later, Ronald Reagan comes along and the Soviet Union goes down. The Soviet Union ceases to exist. Communism is banned in Russia. So it didn't work out, apparently, the way that they had planned. That's why I say, you know, when you talk about these groups, one of the things I appreciated from Justin D. Fulton in his book on Washington, the Lap of Rome, is that, yes, groups like the Jesuits or the Rockefellers or the Ford Foundation or any of these groups, George Soros, these billionaire guys out there, they have a certain amount of power and influence, but they are not invincible, not at all. There's a number of places throughout history where their plans are completely overturned. And of course, we read in the scripture that God can overturn their plans in no time. They don't really get away with anything. Everything unfolds according to God's great plan. I think I did a show, trying to remember, talking about Thomas Carlyle. Thomas Carlyle was talking about the Jesuits and their Counter-Reformation. And he said that there, at one point, their counter-reformation seemed to be complete, but then God raised up Gustavus Adolphus in Sweden, and he beat back the Catholic League, and then Oliver Cromwell again overturned their ambition. So they're not invincible, brethren, not invincible at all, and their plans have to get changed and rerouted and all this other kind of stuff because things happen that are beyond their control. And the reason I say that is I believe that we've got to cry out to God while we're here. We've got to seek what the Lord would have us do. And, you know, I go back to Dr. Ian Paisley. I talked about Paisley on this issue. Something that really affected my thinking a couple of years ago was hearing Dr. Paisley say, you know, you should go home and pray. He said, pray for a mighty reformation. And he said, and don't go home and say, the cause is lost, the cause is lost. God's cause is never lost, sir. God's cause always wins. And Dr. Paisley just thundered, you know. Don't go home and say, the cause is lost, the cause is lost. There's nothing we can do. Because unfortunately, there are some people who take that view. Say, well, there's nothing we can do. I mean, I've talked to people who have or seem to have that view. But the scripture tells us with God, all things are possible. And there are many occasions in history, not just in the Bible, brethren. I mean, the thing about the book of Judges does talk about how, yes, God's people, when they fall into sin and rebellion and idolatry, are often delivered into the hands of their enemies. But when they cry out to God, God hears them and has mercy upon them and delivers them, raises up a champion who delivers them. Praise the Lord. And I've seen this not only in the scripture, but through the pages of history, the pages of church history. Over the past few hundred years, there have been a number of occasions where, and it's why I like to talk about Cromwell. Cromwell appears to be a figure similar to a Jehu or a Gideon, who was able to, you know, whom God raised up and who just had a powerful impact in England, but just threw down the powers that were trying to bring back Inquisition and put a stop to them. And so it is entirely possible that these forces that are at work, these sinister powers at work in the United States, could very well be overturned. They could be chased out of the system. This whole thing could be turned about in no time if God intervenes. And we all, surely we all know that, brethren. If we've lost sight of it, we need to remind ourselves, yes, God can turn these things around in no time. Now, we know eventually he will, when the Lord returns, certainly. The powers of Antichrist will be destroyed. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords to the glory of God the Father. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is what the scripture tells us. Now, exactly when that's going to happen, how it's going to come about, that we don't necessarily know, but we do believe it will come to pass. It's just a matter of time. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.